Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
John Kenny, thank you very much indeed for that. A texter says, how do other cities build undergrounds? Oslo and Copenhagen, smaller than Dublin, have brilliant transport systems. And Fran in Galway says, what are we going to see first? A United Ireland or a Metrolink completed? Well, that is uncertain, Fran, I can tell you. We are living in the age of uncertainty locally and globally and environmentally. War is raging in many parts of the world. The environmental crisis, as you know, is more obvious than ever. The rise of extremism, a great concern. And this year we'll see the largest number of people voting across the globe. But fear not, help is at hand. He's here again. Dr. Paul Dalton, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD, is back with us for the next 4 weeks, starting today, to help us navigate what we're calling for this series, Paul, the age of uncertainty. It's great to see you again.
Thank you, Cormac. And you know what? It's lovely to be back in the age of uncertainty. And as you say, globally and locally, environmentally, we are really, really at a very profoundly unsettling psychological time in our lives. I mean, just even listening to items on your programme so far, I mean, right from homelessness, right the way through. And the thing about us, Cormac, as human beings, we are creatures that desire, we are programmed for predictability and not uncertainty. So we've talked here in the past about predictability around Christmas time, when we revert to the things that really offer us comfort. Our favourite things, Cormac, are good examples of predictability. Our favourite food, our restaurants, our favourite place to go on our holidays, or TV programs where we walk. We like predictability.
Why is that?
Because, Cormac, that is a really, really important question. And this is probably deceptively simple, but a core psychological principle is that we feel safe when things are predictable. And the opposite is true. We feel unsafe when things are unpredictable and we don't know what's going to happen next. And predictability and safety has a long history in psychological research and in child development and in psychotherapy research. So when you look at therapy and you think, what is the mechanism of change? Why does one therapy work better than the other? Well, one of the key mechanisms that bring about change is safety. As human beings, we recoil and we tighten when we're afraid. We get paralyzed. So we are living in a time of huge uncertainty. And I've been thinking about this recently, thinking, God, you know, living in this uncertainty really impacts on our lives, on the lives that we're trying to create for ourselves, the creation of meaning, the creation of relationships, just trying to get by, day by day. There's a really, really well-regarded theorist, a guy called Eric Erickson. He was a psychologist back in the 1960s in Harvard. Mm-hmm. And he came up with this theory. And I do think, there's nothing as practical as a good theory. And his theory was that we have stages in our lives. And during those stages, there are things that we need to achieve. So it was Erickson who gave us the idea of identity crisis.
Okay. Can I stop you there? Because yeah, Today in this kind of wellness series, this age of uncertainty, we're putting a particular focus on young adults, Paul. Mm. So the roughly the 20 to 40 age group. Now, yeah, can I ask, is the impact of unpredictability worse in that age group?
Yeah. I think at some level, yes, because it's a particularly challenging lifestyle and life stage, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But I thought what we do over the next few weeks, Cormac, is look at different life stages and to look at how they are impacted by uncertainty. And then there's no magic bullet. We can't fix any of that overnight. But there are some things that we can do psychologically that can kind of help us weather some of that storm. And what I've called those are the four C's. So in an attempt to kind of condense the research in the area, there's four things that I'm going to talk about over the next 4 weeks. And they're called conversation, control, contentment and compassion. So what I want to do is to have a conversation with you today and for the next 3 weeks about a life stage and then about a way to help us build sustainability and a little bit of resilience. Okay. And as you say, I think today looking at that particular life stage for young adults, and that's somewhere between kind of 20 and 40.
What do you say then to somebody who's 25 who can't afford the rent, doesn't have great career prospects according to them, might have to go abroad to see if they can get experience, might or might not be in a relationship, and on and on and on, right? Mm-hmm. And says, how can conversation and control mm-hmm. and contentment mm-hmm. and compassion help mm-hmm. me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Cormac, so one of the really important things to say here is that there is no magic bullet to this. And one of the other really important things to say is psychological distress. We've got to be very careful that we don't over-psychologize the distress that arises from external factors.
What does that mean?
So if you are homeless, for example, mm-hmm. if you are in your late 20s or early 30s and still living at home, we've got to be very careful that people like me don't blame the individual for that. Mm-hmm. When there are structural factors responsible for stress,
it's real.
It's real, yeah. Cormac. And all the psychology in the world isn't going to change that. But what I'm hoping to do over the next little while is to offer some strategies that might help us be a little bit more resilient in the face of that. And next week I'm going to talk about control. Because control is a very, very important factor in how, in the midst of the unpredictable, what are the things we can control? But this week, what I wanted to talk to you about in particular at this point is the value of conversation.
Okay.
So just let me go back a little bit, Cormac. So Erikson and his theory said that basically we have a job to do at certain points in our lives. And between kind of 20 and 40, he said that our task was to establish intimacy. What he said was it's intimacy or isolation. That our psychological job in that period of our lives is to establish intimacy. Now, it's really important to say when he talks about intimacy, he's not just talking about close sexual, marital mm-hmm. or long-term relationships.
Friendship even.
Completely. Mm-hmm. And I think, Cormac, I'm really glad you said that because friendships are so underrated and undervalued.
And difficult to come by sometimes.
Difficult to come by and are impacted on by all of the uncertainty that we mentioned. But our task at this point in our lives is to establish relationships outside of our family of origin. And of course that's impacted on by the circumstances we find ourselves experiencing at this point in our lives. You know, Cormac, one of the worst things that you can do to an individual is to isolate them, mm-hmm. to alienate them. When we are alone and isolated and alienated, something in us begins to die. And all of the research will say what helps people to get through the crisis in life is social support.
Can I stop you there, right? Because whenever we talk about loneliness or isolation in this program, we get an awful lot of text saying, I am lonely, but I can't seem to get into a social circle or make friends. And it's very difficult, Paul. You must have come across it. People saying, I don't, like, what do I do? Go up to somebody and say, will you be my friend?
It is, Cormac, it's a task. And it's a task that needs to happen over, according to Erikson, over a decade or plus in our lives. And it needs work. I've been very struck by recently the idea of just our friendships require us to turn up. Just to keep turning up.
Okay.
As simple as that. We just keep turning up and we turn up for people. It's said, Cormac, that this decade in our lives, that kind of 20 to 40, the central psychological question is, can I love and can I be loved? And here, love isn't, love is a verb. It's something that you do. It's not a feeling, you know.
Can I say something to you, right?
Mm.
There might be some people who have been isolated for some time and you say don't blame the person, which is absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a process that happens when you're isolated and lonely that you lose your confidence, mm-hmm. you lose your social skills, and mm-hmm. maybe you feel you don't deserve friendship or you can't do it. You mm-hmm. can't go out mm-hmm. into the world. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. what do you say to mm-hmm. those people?
Mm-hmm. Again, Cormac, you know, we start in very small places. And we start by taking very small steps, and even looking at some of what's being offered nationally. You know, Aware, for example, are running a wonderful program called Learning to Live Well. So that's probably targeted, Cormac, at people maybe who've had periods of depression or anxiety where we get afraid. Mm-hmm. And we begin to retreat, and that's really, really understandable. But you know, Cormac, nothing changes if nothing changes. I mean, it's nothing changes if nothing changes.
That's a simple takeaway. That's
completely.
And it starts with conversation, maybe.
So, Cormac, I think that's the really, really important thing to say tonight, that it starts with conversation. And when we articulate something to another human being in our lives, when we're brave enough to go beyond the repetitive, the exchange of facts and opinions or biographical data, that hunger for closeness can be seen there. And I think, even going into into the weekend that's coming up, we need to kind of ask ourselves that question, you know, when was the last time you had a real conversation? Mm. When you were caught off guard, maybe when you surprised yourself or you were brave enough to put something into words that's been knocking around your heart and soul for a while. These kinds of conversations, they awaken all sorts of possibility and wildness and often the kind of deadened isolation and fear and uncertainty. Of course, Cormac, what we haven't mentioned, and we'll come back to it next week, is the impact of social media and all of that. Yeah. We're living in this kind of rapid fire, deeply superficial.
Corrosive,
Cormac, and it's a cultivation. So I'll never offer a quick solution because they don't exist, Cormac.
Okay. Well, I'm glad because you'll be back next Thursday, Paul, in this series, Living in the Age of Uncertainty. Nothing changes if nothing changes. I like that, I must say. And we can start with even the simplest conversation. I really enjoy your visits to us, Paul, I must say. Dr. Paul Dalton, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD. Thank you very much indeed.